This wasn't no movie. The smart thing was to say yes, get up, and leave the room. But then I thought to myself, what if this was a movie? Look, you, the plane you flew in on, them shoes, your socks with the bell on it, your gay-ass accent, them cheap-ass cigars, your yuck-mouth teeth, your hairpiece, your chocolate, Guy Ritchie, Prince William, the Queen. This is America. My president is black and my Lambo is blue, nigga. Now get the out of my hotel room. And if I see you in the street, I'm slapping the out of you.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is a very special episode of Click Nation. We're still considering this a part of the podcast, but this topic for tonight is going to be comic books. So, since it deals with comic books, we're going to call this the Click Nation Comic Book Chronicles. And I'm one of the two hosts here tonight, Tim Dogg. And I'm joined by my older brother, D. Adam Black.
Greetings, true believers.
And, of course, you can find us at our website, theclicknation.com. We have a Twitter account at theclicknation, a Facebook fan page. Make sure to like us at facebook.com/theclicknation. And make sure to subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Radio, and find us on Google Plus. Just search for The Click Nation. And of course, if you ever have any feedback you want to send to us, hit us up at our email address it's theclicknation@gmail.com. So since it's the 4th of July week, we decided to take a little hiatus while to hopefully give us all a chance to go watch The Amazing Spider-Man. And next week, that's what we'll be reviewing on the show. So the entire gang will be back. Leroy Jetstream, Mr. Banff, and Brandy from BLR Productions. But for now, with Comic-Con slowly coming in the next couple of weeks, Marvel has been, I guess, leaking some news that's supposed to... some news that they're going to announce at Comic-Con. And I guess they've really just been leaking it through Entertainment Weekly, because it seems they've been the source for every bit of news that's been coming out this week, starting Monday. And we're recording this on Tuesday, July 3rd, right before the good old July 4th holiday. But anyway, so everyone, as comic book readers and fans know, currently in the Marvel Universe, the Avengers and the X-Men are duking it out over Hope Summers and the Phoenix Force. And I guess with the Comic-Con coming up, there have been some leaks as far as what the post-Marvel Universe is going to look like after Avengers vs. X-Men finishes. So for now, one of the first things they leaked, I believe it was Monday, was an image of Jean Grey in her old-school Marvel Girl outfit. And, you know, the tease is Jean Grey going to make a return post-AVX, which, of course, everyone knows the Jean Grey was the first host of the Phoenix Force. And people have wondered, you know, will she make a return after Avengers vs. X-Men finishes? So that was Monday. I remember on two different websites, Newsarama and I believe comicvine.com, they both released a images of Jean Grey in her Marvel Girl outfit, like I said. But today, on Tuesday, even more information came out, which I will read right now as soon as I click this link. And don't worry, I'll give my brother a chance to talk here in a minute.
Thanks.
Trying to do the setup here. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm reading this from Newsarama.com. Oh, it's actually, I haven't actually taken a look at this, some of this stuff. Because it seemed like earlier in the morning, an image was released of what looked like to be an Avengers and an X-Men team, but it was different characters in slightly altered uniforms. Like there was Thor and Captain America, Cyclops, Invisible Woman, Wolverine, Cable. And as the day went on, more information was leaked. So, and each, all the comic book websites were constantly updating the same articles with, you know, updated 3:50 p.m. or updated 9:40 a.m. But this looks like the last update from Newsarama.com. It's updated as of 3:50 p.m. Eastern Time. Entertainment Weekly's website has updated with an expanded version of the Marvel Now news. Oh, yes. Marvel is calling their post-Avengers versus X-Men initiative Marvel Now, now in capital letters, exclamation mark. You know, DC has their new DC New 52. Now we have Marvel Now. But anyway, with further details on the publishing venture and three initially announced titles, yes, there are going to be new books launched after Avengers vs. X-Men. And here is a quote. It's not hype when we say that A vs. X is the culmination of a lot of stories we've done over the last several years, said Marvel editor-in-chief Axel Alonso in the article. Characters are redeemed or not. Characters are changed. The X-Men and Avengers are both repositioned for the future. What better time to shake things up? And let's see, let me go back because I want to read it from the beginning. Oh, and the image that they released was a Joe Quesada image. Of course, what is Joe Quesada? He's the editor-in-chief, right?
I don't
Or not, he's the chief. He's something. He's he makes a lot of the big decisions over at Marvel.
Yeah, I don't think he's editor-in-chief anymore. I think Axel Alonso is the editor-in-chief.
Yeah. But anyway, Joe Quesada is the guy that decided, hey, we don't want Spider-Man to be married anymore.
Among other decisions.
What else did he do?
Well, that's basically the one thing I mentioned before that made him pretty much a villain. But I would be... I mean, he made a lot of choices. He put Brian Bendis on the Avengers books, which everyone thought at that time was a bad mistake.
Which turned out to be the turning point in the Marvel universe, because he definitely did a good job of rejuvenating the Avengers line.
Hold on one second, Tim. I gotta be father for a sec. Be right back.
All right.
And I'm back after killing that spider because she was not going to go into that room.
Cool. I'll cut that out.
No problem. Dang, where was I? Now, like I've told you before that Avengers Disassembled, I thought was like horrible dog garbage crap. Mm-hmm. But everything after that came along pretty well. You know, he made a lot of choices as far as getting the right creators on the right books. Among them was J. Michael Straczynski on the Amazing Spider-Man title. But yeah, the choice of getting rid of Spider-Man's marriage, you know, and he pretty much tried to make Speedball a grim and gritty character, but. That's another problem.
I'm glad we brought up Spider-Man because I'm about to go off topic because we were going to just concentrate on Avengers versus X-Men, but we can rant about this also.
Okay.
So, yeah, they decided they wanted to make bring Peter Parker and Spider-Man, make him seem younger again by not having him be married and tied down.
Right.
And then what do they go ahead and do and reveal something else that's coming up? I guess they're going to announce during Comic-Con. Spider-Man's getting a sidekick.
Yes. Come on, old chum. Let's go to the, let's get changed into costumes and swing out into the world and fight, combat the forces of evil, right?
Yes. His code name would be Alpha. And I believe his name is a play on words with Tobey Maguire's name.
What?
Yeah, I wish I could remember off the top of my head. Maybe I can find an article that has it here. I think that news was actually announced last week, so I may not be able to find... Yeah. Oh, wait. Yeah, here we go. Oh, there's even a six-page preview of Amazing... Yeah, he'll be revealed in Amazing Spider-Man 692. And let's see. Let me find his name. Andy Maguire.
Oh, okay.
And he gets his powers the same way Peter got his, because Andy Maguire visits Peter's lab, Horizon Labs, and gets to, I guess, zapped with something. Yeah.
And, Peter's there to witness it, basically.
According to Fox Nation, in this story, we find that Peter Parker's days as photographer for the Daily Bugle are behind him, and he's now a scientist at a research firm. Yes, mm-hmm. We know this because people have been reading the book. Andy is part of a student field trip that visits Parker's lab. He's in the wrong place, or perhaps the right place, at the wrong time when Parker's invention malfunctions and zaps him with great power. Parker, haunted by the way he got his own super abilities and how his failure to use them led to the murder of his beloved Uncle Ben so many years ago, feels an even greater responsibility to help young Andy. He feels he must help him discover his powers and teach him how to use them responsibly. What are your thoughts?
When I first heard the news, it was one of those I kind of didn't know how I felt about it. I didn't think Spider-Man was the type of character that needed a sidekick. I just don't feel like that. And like you said, by having him be a mentor, yeah. I mean, I don't think it would make him seem really older. I think in the Marvel Universe, I think basically they've established that Spider-Man's been doing this for probably about in the 8 to 10 year range anyway. So, and he,
I guess that would take him through high school and, graduate out of college.
Yeah. Being a mentor, every generation they've tried to establish a brand new Spider-Man character, every so often. In the 70s, it was Nova, 80s was Speedball, 90s was Darkhawk, and I think they tried Gravity in the 2000s, and this probably is that attempt to create a new Spider-Man type character. I'm still waiting to see what this could mean as far as, the title. Do you know if they're going to make it just part, he's going to be permanently part of the Amazing Spider-Man title? Or, is it going to be or is it just going to be like maybe a one shot or like an ongoing series?
I'm thinking this is my hypothesis. I believe they created Alpha to eventually kill him.
Ah,
not right away, but like within the next like 5 years, I think he'll be killed. Because everyone close to Peter Parker has to be killed. And they've made such a big deal about, I guess Peter Parker made some, or Spider-Man made an oath that, no one else dies on his watch during the Brand New Day storyline.
So, well, that kind of was brought up during the recent storyline, The Ends of the Earth. I don't want to spoil it for anyone else, but there's a reason that there's something that comes out of him saying, no one else dies, no one else dies. Don't really want to spoil it, but that was actually a pretty good miniseries, like a good take on Spider-Man versus the Sinister Six. But yeah, that could be a good idea that, you know, Alpha's just been created just to be killed.
And what that supposedly, you know, how Peter was not very confident in the beginning. Alpha is supposed to be the complete opposite. He's, you know, brash and very confident in himself to mm-hmm. sort of play that dynamic off of each off of one another.
Probably till a tragedy occurs.
Right.
Once that tragedy occurs, it like for Alpha, then
yeah, then you'll knock him off his pedestal.
Mm-hmm. Take him down a peg or two.
Yeah. So yeah, that's the Spider-Man news. But so yeah, let's get back to the Avengers. Now, where exactly did I leave off with the Avengers? We were talking about the Entertainment Weekly news of this post-Avengers versus X-Men world. So let me go back to the article I was originally reading. Okay, like I said, there was an image by Joe Quesada released, and the image, which appears to have originated on Tumblr, surfaced Monday on message boards, including CBR's Marvel Comics Forum, and shows what appears to be new costumes for characters including Captain America, Thor, Hulk, Iron Man, and Cyclops, along with a prominent place for Guardians of the Galaxy team member Rocket Raccoon, and what appears to be a floating helmet. Not sure what the helmet is supposed to be. But anyway, a CBR post, and CBR stands for Comic Book Resources,
mm-hmm.
claims the article accompanying the image reveals three new series, Uncanny Avengers, written by Rick Remender and starring Captain America, Thor, Wolverine, Rogue, and my brother's favorite comic book character, Havoc.
Yes.
A biweekly Avengers, written by Jonathan Hickman and with more than 18 members on the team. And X-Men, written by Brian Michael Bendis, with the five original X-Men traveling to the present-day Marvel Universe, which, if accurate, could explain Entertainment Weekly's cryptic story on Jean Grey and the cropped image, which you can't see, but we'll post the images when this episode goes up. So, yeah, we get three new titles. Uncanny Avengers, very creative.
Yeah.
And, of course, got to start everything off with new issue number one. So we get Avengers number one again, probably, most likely. And X-Men number one. So that's one article. And then there's an updated one article I'm going to read from. It was updated as of 3:50 p.m. today. And I believe I read this. Okay, so from Uncanny Avengers writer Rick Remender is quoted as saying, Captain America comes out of A versus X and recognizes that he hasn't done enough to help the mutants. And they list the team members, which I already read out. Havoc's always been the black sheep, rock and roller of the Summers family, Remender told EW. He can't do that anymore. You're going to see Havoc become one of the biggest players in the Marvel Universe.
Awesome.
I'm actually okay with that. The villain of the initial Uncanny Avengers arc will be the Red Skull, specifically the Red Skull's consciousness from the midst of the World War II, recorded by Arnon Zola. Not sure what to make of that. It says, prime Nazi scum, Remender said of Red Skull. In his mind, he's taken that vitriol and hate and Nazi horror and mythology and pointed at the mutant species. As noted earlier, Avengers will have a team roster of 18 or more, including, as revealed by EW, Shang-Chi, Master of Kung Fu, and recent Secret Avenger. Why they took the time not to list him of all people, I don't know.
Probably, you know, he's a character that, you know, you wouldn't expect to be in a main in a bigger Avengers book besides Secret Avengers.
Eh, who cares? The obvious solution is for the heroes to become something bigger and larger, a more appropriate response to an ever more dangerous time, Hickman said in the article. So, this Uncanny Avengers... Oh, no, actually, Avengers, just the adjective-less Avengers with the 18-plus roster. So that's basically like Justice League Unlimited, I see.
Yeah.
Of people that remember the Cartoon Network series. And all-new X-Men writer Brian Michael Bendis describes X-Men as a tough nut to crack and said that the rough concept for the book, the original X-Men traveling to the present and viewing what they find as a Days of Future Past-esque dystopia, had been kicked around at Marvel Writers Retreat for a while now. No danger room, no imaginary story, Bendis said in the piece. This is actually happening. Here's the big question that the original X-Men are going to be faced with. We're going to grow up, and this is what we're going to get going to get. That is not acceptable.
Makes, you know, I could see where it could be a definite future shock compared to if you read the first few issues of the original X-Men title and compare it to now. Yeah, a lot of stuff has changed. You know, the good contrast would be the fact that, I guess the relationship they have with Professor X, which, if I remember correctly, is currently kind of strained. And then you have the fact that Cyclops has changed so much. He had to basically adapt and grow up into this new world, and his character is totally different from back then, where he was just basically blindly loyal to the professor's cause.
Right. So, yeah, I guess, and even with the mutant population being cut down, that even makes it seem more Days of Future Past.
Yes.
And with the original team traveling to the present comes the return of Jean Grey, long dead in contemporary storylines. It's the one thing X-Men fans have always asked for is they want Jean Grey back, Bendis said. But they want Jean Grey, not reincarnated Jean or the ghost of Jean. Well, you're getting Jean back, and Jean is going to be looking at a world that rattles her. That still is basically the same. It's still not the same Jean back.
No.
They're talking about reincarnated, you know, they didn't want to bring a reincarnated Jean back or the ghost of Jean. Well, they're just bringing a younger version of her back. What's the difference?
Basically, they've done it before. That's what they're basically saying. Even though technically that Jean wasn't dead, but, you know, that's a long story in itself. But yeah, this is their version of doing it different.
Yeah. And finally, Marvel Chief Creative, oh, so that's his title, Marvel Chief Creative Officer Joe Quesada. That sounds convoluted. Commented in the article on the teaser image he illustrated, saying, there's a reason Sue Storm is there and why there's a floating robot near Hulk. We're trying a lot of fun and new different things. We're exposing characters who we've had in our toy chest for a long time. So that's the news as of now is for what's going to be taking place in the Marvel Universe. And, of course, everyone's first reaction is, Marvel's just copying DC Comics, trying to relaunch or reboot their comic book line. And this is kind of like halfway doing it, I guess, because it seems like they're just relaunching the X-Men and Avengers side of the Marvel Universe and keeping everything up, all the rest of the universe the way it is. At least that's my question. Is it, they, like I said, are they just doing all this stuff and with Avengers and X-Men and the rest of the Marvel Universe will stay the same, or is this like going to be a whole new world?
I think it's just going to be basically this will just be part of these new titles that they're talking about launching will be the only new titles launched. Like, they may have to cancel some books. I mean, there's already a regular X-Men title anyway. So
yeah,
that title, I guess, may be canceled. That I'm not real sure. We'll probably have to find out in a couple weeks. As it is, that title really had no purpose to me after the first story arc of the X-Men versus Vampires.
Vampires.
Which I didn't even get the full arc. I just never got into the title. So there you go. You could possibly cancel that book and relaunch it as X-Men with the past or of the original X-Men coming into the future or the present for us. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm thinking. As far as the rest of the books, until they mention everything, I'm thinking everything is still going to be everything else. The other Marvel titles is still pretty much status quo.
Yeah. And so yeah, that's the new news as far as that goes. I'm trying to think of anything else we can touch on. Oh, we can talk. Let's see. Rick Remender, he's been riding Uncanny X-Force and doing a great job with that. And he just took on Secret Avengers, if I am remembering correctly. Mm-hmm. And he is also riding Venom too, right?
I believe so. And that I've actually picked up the last couple of issues of that. It's actually a pretty good book.
So him taking on Uncanny Avengers with this sort of almage, I hope that's the right word.
Amalgam?
What? Say it one more time.
Amalgam?
Amalgam. That's when you put stuff together, right?
I believe so.
Yeah. So basically putting together the Avengers and the X-Men in this one group, in one book, I should say. That could be a good read because he's done such a good job with those three titles we just named: Secret Avengers, Uncanny X-Force, and Venom. Mm-hmm. So that could be worth checking out.
Yeah,
Hickman, yep. He's done a good job with the Fantastic Four, right?
I've read a few of his issues. They're not too bad. He's a pretty good writer. A lot of people, he's got a lot of praise on the internet for what he's done with the Fantastic Four, which is rare because, you know, Fantastic Four needs the right, it needs the right writer in order for it to be a good title. And from the stuff the little bit I've read, I've liked. I couldn't really get into the FF book that much, but mm-hmm. as far as Fantastic Four, what he did before was pretty good.
Yeah, and he'll be taking on the biweekly Avengers title. And, of course, Brian Michael Bendis finally given up the reins of writing the new Avengers or Avengers or whatever, whichever Avengers you want to call it, and taking on all new X-Men. So I'm wondering how, the younger... So we're going to have your old and new Cyclops, or old and young Cyclops, old and young Iceman, Beast, and Angel in the same universe now?
Apparently so. Hmm. Apparently so. I mean, on that image, it still had, it looked like old school or the new school Cyclops on there, so...
Yeah, that was for the Uncanny Avengers image. Mm-hmm. They say Havoc's supposed to be in there in the book, but I don't see him anywhere on that image.
No, that could be, it may just be some type of promo art.
Why does Thor have two swords on his back? I just noticed that.
Makes him extreme.
And the Cable's in this image, and it's funny because I had no clue that was Cable. At least they say it. Nick Fury.
Yeah, that's what I was saying, because didn't he give up the Infinity Formula?
Well, he got
in his blood.
He had it taken away.
Mm-hmm.
So that's who I say it is, and his younger black son.
Yes. Yeah. What's his name? Marcus Johnson.
Yeah, Marcus Johnson. Well, no, it's Nick Fury Jr.
Oh yeah, now it's Nick Fury.
He adopted the name because after 20 whatever odd years of life, I'll just take on a new name. And that won't be weird at all.
Exactly.
I like how Captain America's mask or helmet looks just like the movie version.
The first movie?
Yeah, the first movie at least. Even down to the outfit.
Yeah. I mean, that's the one thing that I did dig about the ultimate version of Captain America before it eventually became mainstream in the Marvel Universe is that they took up the title that he was a super soldier. And, a soldier basically has to do what he has to do to,
do what you know, got to do.
Basically
get the job done.
Yeah. Get the job done. If he has to take a life, he doesn't want to, but if he has to pick up a gun and shoot somebody, he can do that. And, you know, it was always good before because Captain America would find a way. But I always viewed the ultimate version of Captain America as a more realistic version. And now you have the mainstream Captain America, you know, having to pick up a gun and do what he has to do, you know, ever since he was brought back to life. So it's just something odd.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So, I was highly irritated that Marvel was trying to outdo DC. Like, oh, you're going to relaunch or reboot your universe? Well, we can do that, but we can do it better.
My problem with it is just that it just seems like, I think even you had brought it up last week, is just that they're putting all these events together to the point where it's like, well, you know, you get tired out, and this is a new relaunch. You know, we just experienced that with, you know, after dealing with Fear Itself last year. Then before that, you had other events, and it's just like event after event after event after event after event after event, and it just gets so... You get as a reader, you're just getting tired of it.
Yes, you want to allow the writers of the individual books to tell their own stories.
Yes, and it appears at least DC for right now has kind of kept it to a minimum. They've done stuff like the Quarter Owls, but it's not like in the, well, let me back up. Quarter Owls took place in the Batman books. Or the Night of Owls, excuse me. And there was a crossover, but the crossover was one that literally you could read one of those titles if you're a regular reader. You didn't have to read all the books. If you wanted to, you could, but I didn't feel there was a connection to make you have to read them. Mm-hmm. And with Marvel, is because of all these events, you feel compelled to have to pick up another book, but you know, times are tough, and you know, it's kind of hard.
Cheap.
Yeah, it's hard to shell out $4 for one book and then have to do it over and over again.
And something else I need to add, with the Uncanny Avengers, all new X-Men and Avengers titles, Marvel's staggering the release of all three of these titles. Uncanny Avengers is going to ship in October. All new X-Men, I guess that's the complete title of it. They're just X-Men.
Mm-hmm.
It ships in November, and Avengers ships in December.
Okay. So we got to look forward to a new book pretty much every month starting in October.
And which one was the bi-weekly?
I believe that Avengers.
Singular?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because that's the one that has the big roster. And art by Jerome Opeña, who I've never heard of before. Have you?
I don't believe I have. Let me look him up and see if he's done anything that I remember.
Stuart Immonen is the artist on All New X-Men, and John Cassidy is drawing Uncanny Avengers.
Okay, I believe, let me make sure, I'm looking at his Wikipedia page, and okay, he's been drawing Uncanny X-Force.
Oh. Yeah.
His style is kind of...
I haven't been crazy about some of the Uncanny X-Force issues I've picked up lately.
If it's the guy I'm thinking, his style is very... It's one of those either you're going to love it or you're going to hate it type of styles.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, keep that in mind. You know, but, you know, a lot of people, I've read opinions on him as well, and a lot of people dig his stuff. So, it's very, very, it's very eclectic.
So that's the big Marvel Now! Exclamation mark. Okay. Got to remember the exclamation mark.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
So as far as our individual opinions, I guess it's better than rebooting the whole universe.
Yeah.
And it's about time that they start paying attention to the X-Men books again. Marvel had just became so Avengers-centric, it was getting on my nerves. X-Men, when I was collecting comic books in the old days, the X-Men were the money makers, as I banged my fist on my table.
Well, you know, I've become more of a Avengers fan in the last few years, thanks to Brian Michael Bendis doing his thing as far as the writing on it. And it became an important book. It does help now. What you're probably getting sick of is the fact that after the Avengers movie hit big, they pretty much splattered Avengers stuff everywhere that you can see.
Oh, it was before the movies hit.
Mm-hmm.
It was when they were building up to the Avengers movie.
Yeah. I mean, but that's probably what you're going to have to, and it's just one of those things, because you have a hot property like that, you know, making $600 million domestically really helps. So you're going to basically have to deal with that, and eventually you'll get back. Everything will come back down. But for right now, got to make that money, player.
I suppose. So let's see, anything else we can discuss? I think we about touched on everything as far as getting up all the listeners up to date on the goings on in the Marvel Universe. We still have to wait to see how Avengers versus X-Men is going to end, because supposedly they've released the image for the third act, how it's supposed to end, because I don't know if we mentioned it on a previous episode, they were teasing the No More Avengers.
Yes.
So now they're doing the Phoenix Force. Oh yeah, the Avengers versus X-Men at 3 teaser. Avengers vs. X-Men begins its third and final act in August, and Marvel is teasing the event's big finish. It's the Phoenix Five, which are Cyclops, White Queen, Emma Frost, Colossus, Namor, and Illyana, all possess the Phoenix Force. And there's an image of like the Phoenix, a symbol, and a bunch of hands like reaching out to it, like Iron Man, and you know, just different characters reaching out to it, and says there can only be one. So basically, it looks like they're teasing the Phoenix, you know, is tired of being split amongst five hosts, and now it's time for it to choose one. So yeah, I was certain. I guess I can still say I'm kind of certain that whoever the Phoenix chooses is going to be a freaking Avengers character. Because Avengers are important. Marvel Universe. They run the universe.
Yeah, but who?
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be a surprise, but it'll be an Avenger. Trust me.
It'll be D-Man or Dr. Druid.
No. We can finish up on... Basically, I'm reading all this stuff from Newsarama.com. Great site. But they have, what now? 10 questions about Marvel's non-reboot revamp. So we can go down the list.
Go ahead.
Let's see. They always have great lists as far as like top 10, like 10 questions or 10 best or worst. So number 10, like I said, these are 10 questions about Marvel's non-reboot. Number 10 is, how about variety? How deep will Marvel reach into the coffers for these new series? With 20 or so new number ones over the course of 5 months. Whoa, what? Let me actually go back. Yeah, there's a page before they start listing stuff. I guess I need to read that. It's no longer coming, quote unquote. It's here. No, we're not talking about the Phoenix Force. We're talking about details on Marvel's long speculated post-Avengers versus X-Men plans. Turns out the publisher is set to unveil a fairly large-scale revamp starting in October called Marvel Now, which, while not a reboot, is somewhat DC New 52-esque in terms of rampant creative team changes and relaunches of classic titles plus new series. Details are relatively slim following an Entertainment Weekly article, and naturally, we're pretty curious. Okay, so they didn't really say too much.
No.
So how about variety? how deep will Marvel reach into the coffers for these new series? With 20 or so new number ones over the course of 5 months, you have to imagine that we're trying a couple they've never tried before, and hopefully trying a few that haven't been able to stick up until now. Now, my first question is, where did they get this 20 number out? Just pulled that out of a hat?
Yeah, that part I'm not sure. We may have to go back and look for that, but or post it to the site.
It says, is now the time, finally, for a Runaways relaunch? Maybe Cloak and Dagger will slide into the lineup? We know, of course, that the Avengers and X-Men will be front and center, as the X-Men should. That's just me adding it. As Marvel truly capitalizes on both of their massive franchises, but with mutant ties in both of the aforementioned books, it is a possibility.
Well, I mean, you really should get... Basically, you have Marvel has such a wide variety of characters, some of which have had series or miniseries, such as your Cloak and Daggers. Or, you know, I know it was brought up on a list before. You know, we need new characters in the Marvel Universe, like brand new characters. We need to make the tries. And, you know, you brought up Alpha before. That could be an attempt at bringing out, you know, brand new characters. But, yeah, we've gotten to the point where, I believe Avengers and X-Men titles have now pretty much taken over probably 80% of the Marvel lineup of comics. So I think this is a good choice.
Indeed. So if Avengers can be biweekly, what's next? Like Amazing Spider-Man before it, the new Jonathan Hickman-written Avengers will ship twice a month starting this December in the Marvel Now era. It's becoming something of a trend at Marvel lately. Books like Uncanny X-Men and Avengers Academy frequently ship more than once a month, but by pushing the bi-weekly nature of Avengers into early Marvel Now press, the publisher is potentially suggesting an even further shift away from the traditional monthly book model. And if Marvel Now is about freshening up their publishing line, then it makes sense that the way books are released would also be reexamined along with the actual content of the comics. So what's the next biweekly Marvel Now book? Will fans complain about frequent artist changes? Yes, they should. Or will the quality be maintained to a degree that will win over skeptics? No, I'm a skeptic. I'm saying no, they will not be able to maintain the same artists on these books.
What they tried to do when the Amazing Spider-Man went three times monthly during the Brand New Day arc, they tried to do it in shifts, which really did suffer the quality. They did shifts as far as writers, and they did shifts as far as the artists as well. So you may have an artist and a writer do like a 3 or 4 issue story arc, and then you hop. Then after that, there's another artist writer doing the story arc. With it being twice monthly, I see a writer being the same, being consistent. But as far as the art nowadays, if you can get someone that can be that can work on a book more than once a month and their name is not Mark Bagley, it's just not going to happen. So you're probably going to have to deal with the fact that you'll have someone draw one part of a book and then have someone else draw the other part. The main question is with a book that comes out twice a month, are people going to be willing to pay for that? $3.99. I mean, Marvel's books are pretty much $3.99 for the most part, especially the Avengers titles. That's a lot to, you know. That's, you're talking about someone selling out $8 a month for 2 books. So that's something that they should consider.
Yeah. Number 8. Will all of the new titles be ongoing? Marvel may be launching a new series every week for 5 months, but who's to say that all of them will be ongoing a la DC's New 52? Brian Michael Bendis and Stuart Immonen's All New X-Men, for example, not only sounds like a series that can't be sustained indefinitely, it is, after all, based around characters integral to the past of the Marvel Universe coming to the present. They have to go back sometime, don't they? but is referred to by Bendis in the Entertainment Weekly article as a story, not a series. If some of these new launches are intended to have definite endpoints, then this could be another place where Marvel has learned from DC's experience with relaunching its line. Not everything has to continue forever. Sometimes the audience prefers to read a good story with a beginning, middle, and end than it does a new franchise to be explored and exploited for as long as possible. I don't believe that for a minute. I believe that might be their intentions to have, like, I guess some of these be mini series with the ending, but they'll try to push it as far as they can go.
Yeah, I think that when you, like, the second you mentioned that, I thought, yeah, that's definitely going to be just a story. I mean, you can't. There's no way it can sustain itself, but then we could be talking 4 or 5 years later and it's still going on.
Yeah. Let's see, number 7. Where are the other franchises? Which is what I was questioning earlier. Something interesting about the EW article announcing Marvel Now is that the 3 books center around the Avengers and X-Men franchises, with one of the 3 books even crossing them over again to create a mega franchise, Voltron-like. But what about Marvel's other big-name franchises? According to Joe Quesada, there's a reason that Sue Richards is in the promotional image, so something is clearly going to be happening with the Fantastic Four, but with Jonathan Hickman reportedly leaving both Fantastic Four and FF, what can we expect from that side of the Marvel Universe? And will FF even continue to exist without Hickman? And what changes can we expect to see from the Spider-Man side of things? Will Dan Slott jump off the title after 700? Unlikely, but you never know. Will Avengers Spider-Man be replaced by a brand new Marvel team-up? And where do books like Hulk, Defenders, and the rumored Guardians of the Galaxy relaunch fall in the new scheme of things?
Oh, yeah. I'm very, that brings up what we talked about before about other franchises. And I'm definitely hoping Dan Slott doesn't leave Spider-Man.
Yeah, he needs to stay.
Because, after Brand New Day, once they got a permanent writer that was going to stay on the book, everything got to where it was a lot better. Hopefully he'll stick around for that. On the other books, it's just hard to say what's going to happen. And that was the main thing that that was rumored when Bendis said he was leaving the Avengers books. He basically, that started the rumor that everyone was going to start leaving the book. So they were like, what's going to happen next? People are and it looks like it is coming to fruition. People are just trading books. I would have preferred Brian Michael Bendis working on a permanent X-Men book, but it doesn't sound like that's happening.
Number 6, what about the other creative team shakeups? With the Marvel Now news, 2 of the biggest questions Marvel fans have had for the past 6 months have been answered. What's Brian Michael Bendis doing after leaving Avengers, and who's taking over the franchise once he leaves? But while those are out of the way, they are hardly the only creative team-centric curiosities left. We know what Jonathan Hickman is doing, but who's taking over Fantastic Four in his stead? Ed Brubaker was recently announced as departing Captain America, so who's on tap for Cap? It looks like Matt Fraction is most likely wrapping up his Invincible Iron Man run, which has been great. So where does he go from here, and who's going to step up and tackle Tony Stark's adventures? What about Incredible Hulk, which Jason Aaron looks to be leaving at some point in the nearest future? They just restarted Hulk.
Yes, they did.
The question, so that's their number 6 question, which I agree with. I guess the shakeup, I guess it made sense if Bendis was going to leave. The only thing that could get Bendis to leave Avengers would be for X-Men. And so you need someone else to take over Avengers. Who's the biggest name? Probably Jonathan Hickman. So he jumps over. It's basically just reshuffling the deck.
Yeah, I'm just hoping that, the creators are, in it. I like it if they were I would like it if they were in it for the long haul. You know, true enough, you know, years and years ago when Bendis was on Avengers, who knew what, how that was going to turn out. You know, I don't want these guys to get on there and be on there for like 6 or 7 months and then they have to shake things up one more time because they feel like they need to get off the books. You know, that's what I fear. I, you know, especially with writing, I like my writers to stay on the books for, you know, an extended time.
Yeah, it's better to have, instead of, you know, you stay on for a story arc and then have creative differences with the editors and you end up leaving.
Yes. And, you know, ask any people that are reading the DC 52 books, pretty much I would have to say probably a good half of them. I would say probably half of the original titles, if besides the canceled ones, have brand new writers, brand new artists on the book. And, you know, that's just no way to sustain. You know, and a lot of them are, a lot of the reasons supposedly are editorial differences and interference with the titles.
Right. So we have number five, a 5-month-long revamp. On the one hand, rolling out Marvel Now over 5 months seems like a great alternative to the abrupt everything happens at once sensibility of DC's new 52 relaunch, which required fans and retailers to gamble on 52 different new series in the space of a month. But on the other, by being launched piecemeal over the course of almost half a year, Marvel Now dilutes its impact and gives audiences a chance to try the earliest issues of the relaunch and decide it's not for them before the latter issues have even been solicited, as well as retailers a chance to take the temperature of the branding and know whether or not they should lower expectations on later launches given how the earlier ones have performed in the marketplace. Given the speed of comics commentary and the attention span of collective fandom, there's every possibility that by the time February 2013 rolls around with the final first issues of the program's launches, we'll have been through not only the initial wave of excitement, but also the backlash to the backlash, and well into the general apathy towards everything stage. I must have missed something where they listed how this thing was spanning 5 months and 20 books, and I need to see where all this is coming from.
Yeah, that 5 months, that does give people more time to, you know, latch onto it, decide, well, is this what I really want to do, you know, and that type of thing. We'll see. You know, it's one of those, like, especially with Marvel, it's like you could be reading something that is probably the worst idea possible, and then you read it finally and you're like, okay, it kind of makes sense, it'll work. But yeah, we'll just have to see on that.
Yeah. And number four, Avengers Consolidate. We have two brand new number one Avengers titles in just this, the official first announcement of the initiative. One brings its characters, well, one for certain, there's nothing saying Hickman's books won't too, and Hickman's title has a massive roster to pull from. So what does that mean for the current Avengers titles? Secret Avengers, for example, could easily be replaced by Uncanny Avengers, with Remender using this team for intense global globe-trotting action. Having two main Avengers titles has been a little off at times, with some characters being on both squads, so it would appear that Hickman's title is replacing both of those. It's clear the shakeup will be affecting the makeup of the Avengers teams, but it's unclear how much it will affect the lineup of books being published themselves. Yeah, like, where's Luke Cage going to be? Because, you know, he's got to be front and center.
Yeah, I mean, it has thrown things off with having a new Avengers title and an Avengers title currently. And that was my first question. When they said that they were going to launch an Avengers title, I was thinking, okay, is this going to replace the current Avengers title? So that was something that I was very curious on, which we'll probably have to find out, you know, in the next, once Comic-Con comes around.
Yeah, I'm kind of looking forward to Comic-Con.
Yep, Dave really got it. You know, at least the Marvel part will be very interesting.
Let's see, number three. Won't someone think of the X-Books? That's what I'm saying. Think of the X-Books. And that, of course, leads us to the X-Books. At last count, there were 48 X-Men titles. Okay, that's a slight exaggeration. But with the... Yeah, if I say count all the Avengers books.
Yes.
But with a good 14 current books and only 190-some-odd mutants to play with, it seems like the X-Men might begin stretched thin, especially when you add in a third title with the word Uncanny into the mix. Yeah, Uncanny has become the new Avengers, new, I guess not new mutants, but that's been around for a while. But Uncanny X-Force, Uncanny X-Men, Uncanny Avengers.
Yes.
But anyway, Uncanny X-Men, Wolverine and X-Men, X-Factor, X-Men Legacy, and X-Men all seem like they could be in some level of jeopardy, especially with the addition of all new X-Men. The very makeup of the X-Men, including whether or not they're still a schism, could very well change. See, that's another thing. They piped this schism up so much, and then, like, what, 4 months later, it seemed like Avengers vs. X-Men came along and just, like, ignored all that. Like, that's old news now. And they didn't even, like, the X-Books didn't even address the schism after it started.
Talking about the X-Men titles?
Yeah. Schism came, and that was, like, it. Like, you know, they split the team, you know, Team Wolverine and Team Cyclops, like in maybe the first issues after the schism started, they sort of referenced it, but all the books kind of just went on about their lives.
Well, I mean, you definitely have to just especially with Wolverine and the X-Men, of course, they're on their own little thing. Cyclops team and the Uncanny X-Men, you know, they were in a story arc. Like I said, well, you brought up the point. We just got through with this, and Schism was last year, so we haven't even been a full year into this whole, you know, splitting the X-Men books up, or, you know, like you said, Team Cyclops and Team Wolverine. We haven't even dealt with it for a year, and now you're talking about we're shaking up the tiles, which goes back to my point. We just got through with this. You can't. Why are you trying to shake things up again? You know, now it's hard to invest your time into these books because it's like, well, I'm going to really get into it, and then all of a sudden they're going to change it again, and that's why I don't. You know, that's becoming a problem for me.
So that's that. It still, it seems as though the makeup of the Marvel Universe as a whole. Oh, wait, hold on. Oh, yeah, I jumped off the schism part. The very makeup of the X-Men, including whether or not there's a schism, could very well change. Havoc, currently on X-Factor, and Rogue, currently the main character of Legacy, are both confirmed members of the Uncanny Avengers, but there's certainly nothing saying characters can't be on more than one team. Hi, Wolverine.
Yes.
Still, it seems as though the makeup of the Marvel Universe as a whole will change pretty drastically come the end of Avengers vs. X-Men. And with those story-based changes, the face of the X-Men line is likely to change as well. Number two, what other books might be saying goodbye? And it's not just some of the X-Men and Avengers books that might be on the endangered species list. For every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction, and for every new series, more often than not, there's also a few canceled books. So if Marvel is introducing around 20 new series in the coming months, it makes sense that at least a few are likely on their way out. My guess would be that books will be stopped and relaunched as number ones. That's just me.
Yeah, which I have always hated.
Some will probably be replacements for current books, but with wholly new series like Uncanny Avengers, the odds are that a few are just done. So, which ones? With Kieron Gillen seemingly nearing the end of his journey into Mystery Run, does that book have much of a long-term future past that point? As noted earlier, will FF continue to coexist with Fantastic Four, even without the guy who has written every issue of the spinoff series, Jonathan Hickman? They talk about Avengers Spider-Man, Yeah, and is Spider-Man even still an Avenger?
Yeah, I mean, we won't know until Avengers versus X-Men ends. You know, I didn't really think of his status as Avenger being in danger, but, you know, you never know what could change. But, yeah, it's hard to say, especially with FF, is there room for two Fantastic Four books, in the Marvel Universe, or for, comic book readers? That's something I've always thought about. Definitely I think we're going to see a lot of cancellations, or, sometimes even Marvel, they don't really cancel books. It's just like they transform them, kind of. It's one of those things. We're going to have to wait till probably September, October, just really see the cancellations come down. But hopefully in Comic-Con, we'll know for sure what's going on.
Yeah. And final number one, does Marvel now change Marvel then? Okay, it's not a reboot. We've been told this many, many times by those in the know at Marvel, and yet there's a time travel element here with the time-displaced mutants of all new X-Men that seems curiously well-placed to help tidy up any loose ends Marvel editors and creators might be uncomfortable with. After all, there has to have been something that brings the original X-Men to the present day, and there's almost no way that such a trip could be made without the time stream being affected in some way, right? Marvel doesn't do full-scale reboots. That's always been DC's party trick. But does do subtle nudges to its own history. See Iron Man's extremist change to the character's origin, or Mephisto's undoing of Spider-Man's marriage. Will this new beginning of the Marvel Universe have more new in it than people might be expecting? Once again, I say yes, because they like the word new. New.
Yeah. Marvel's pretty much stayed away. I'm really surprised that they've never had the wide scale reboot like DC has tried. We'll definitely have to once again see. I think the reboot idea probably would work. Because you could get rid of a lot of garbage out of people's continuities that, doesn't need to apply anymore. I was always in favor of the reboot.
Yeah. So that's a lot of it is stuff we'll have to just keep an eye on and see how everything plays out. So that about does it for our expansive Avengers and X-Men and Marvel Now discussion. Anything you want to add before we cut out of here?
Nothing much to add. I'm looking forward to it. When I saw that on my phone earlier today, I was really curious about it. Especially when Marvel makes it into a major magazine like Entertainment Weekly, and it's not about Avengers, the Avengers movie talks or not dealing with any TV show or whatever, it's pretty much a major deal. So for it to just be talking about comic books, that's a plus for me. So I'm looking forward to Comic-Con, looking forward to a whole bunch of announcements all day long, flooding my reader. So I'll be looking forward to it.
And maybe when Comic-Con, the week of Comic-Con starts, maybe we'll do more of these. I guess we'll still call them Comic Book Chronicles. Hopefully, I'll take a poll in from on Twitter and on the internet, see how people respond to it. If people like it, we'll do these more often. Just a little detour from the regular Click Nation podcast episodes. Let us get our comic book geek on.
Exactly.
But like I said, make sure to hit us up on our website, theclicknation.com. Follow us on our social networks. I'm on Twitter. I'm at TimDogg98. Adam Black is at @D_Adam_Black. And of course, our the Click Nation Twitter account is @TheClickNation. You can always leave comments on any of our posts on the website or send us an email at theclicknation@gmail.com, and we'll make sure to read them on our show. We actually got another email that I'll save for when we come back next week and do our The Amazing Spider-Man review. But, yeah, we'll just wrap things up now, and want to thank everyone for listening. And for D. Adam Black, I am Tim D-O-double-G, and we are the Click Nation, and we are signing off.
This wasn't no movie. The smart thing was to say yes, get up, and leave the room. But then I thought to myself, what if this was a movie? Look, you, the plane you flew in on, them shoes, your socks with the bell on it, your gay-ass accent, them cheap-ass cigars, your yuck-mouth teeth, your hairpiece, your chocolate, Guy Ritchie, Prince William, the Queen. This is America. My president is black and my Lambo is blue, nigga. Now get the out of my hotel room. And if I see you in the street, I'm slapping the out of you.
Up in a body bag.